Our episodes contain graphic information and at times strong language that may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Would you like some murder with your coffee?
Welcome to Morning Murders. I'm Nicole.
I'm Amanda.
And I'm Brenna. We're just three gals who like to sit around, drink coffee, and talk about true crime.
True crime.
Okay. True crime.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We're featuring Maroon 5.
Exactly. I was like, wow. I didn't know that we were going to record an episode of SNL today.
Yes, today.
Cool. I'm just full of voices today.
Oh,
I don't know what it is.
The
voices! Beans, we are so excited to have you join us today. It's been really fun being knee-deep in season three.
Yeah.
We've just been knocking them out. Just incredible, incredible episode after incredible episode. Keep on being beans. You know, that's all I'm asking.
Yeah.
I just want you to keep on being a bean.
Just keep on being a bean. That was the song.
That's it.
That's it.
That's it.
All
right.
I'm so excited for the episode today.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You want to know what you want to talk about stuff?
I want to know.
You want to know what I brought to the breakfast nookie?
Yes, Amanda, what'd you bring to
some nookie in the breakfast nookie? All right.
Ooh.
My beautiful beans.
Yes.
My beautiful besties.
Yes.
Yay.
Have any of you heard of Gypsy Rose Blanchard? I know you have.
Yes, yes, I have. I watched The Act years
yes.
ago.
Did you?
I did.
Mm.
Many, many moons ago. I remember aspects of it.
Okay.
I feel like I remember the big things.
It is a dramatization of this.
Excellent.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
I've heard of her.
Okay. Yeah, you heard of her? Heard of her?
Yes.
I have to admit something before we start.
Mm-hmm. Oh, great.
So I grew up in a musical theater house, right?
No,
right?
No.
Right?
What?
Like,
no way.
People doing lots of musical theater in the house, okay? Not a true crime household. So until about 2020, I did not know that Gypsy Rose Lee from the musical Gypsy is not the same person as Gypsy Rose Blanchard.
Oh,
I see.
That's okay. That's okay.
Listen, that's fine.
That's
this
is a safe space.
Right? This is my confessions. We're in confessional. I know the difference now, okay? I'm going to prove that in the next 30 minutes or so.
Yay.
But I just, like, had to get that confession out.
Yeah, that's okay. There's lots of stuff like that for people that they're like, I didn't realize that this Dakota was also this Dakota.
Yeah,
when
people would talk to me about it, I'm like, yeah, Gypsy Rose Lee. Oh, what?
Yeah.
Huh. I don't remember that from the musical, but I know she had an overbearing mother, right? So that's,
Fair.
One, they are one. They have been one in my brain for many years, but today, they're not.
Yeah. There we go. Good. Well, now you know.
Now I know.
Now you know, and you're going to educate the rest of us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, before we can get into Gypsy's story, we're going to start with her mother, Dee Dee. She was born Claudine Petrie in Louisiana in 1967, one of the five children to Claude Anthony Petrie Sr. and Emma Louise Gisclair. So relatives recalled that she had a habit of stealing from them, which they speculated was like a form of retaliation when, quote, things didn't go her way. She settled into a career in healthcare as a nurse's aide.
Oh, good.
Mm-hmm.
When she was 24, she became pregnant by 17-year-old Rod Blanchard.
Oh.
They got married and named their daughter Gypsy Rose because Dee Dee liked the name Gypsy and Rod was a fan of Guns N' Roses. So, again, not even named after the musical,
Just completely
not even.
Interesting.
Not even at all.
No particular name, though. Just going to say,
there's
not a lot of Gypsy Roses out there.
It's really pretty, though.
Yeah, it is pretty, but I'm just saying. I would have also thought it's the same thing had I never heard that name.
Have I never heard that name? Right.
Yeah.
So, and unfortunately, before Gypsy Rose's birth in July of 1991, the couple separated. Rod recalled how his marriage to Dee Dee quickly deteriorated by the time he turned 18. Quote, I woke up on my birthday, on my 18th birthday, and realized I wasn't where I was supposed to be. I wasn't in love with her, really. I knew I got married for the wrong reasons. Mm. But, you know, they were in the South, and it's what you do. Is
and he's also
you know,
super young.
Yeah, he got her pregnant, right, so he didn't know any better.
Right.
Right. He resisted Dee Dee's efforts to get him to return, and so she took her newborn daughter to live with her family. When Gypsy was about 3 months old, her mother was concerned that the infant may have sleep apnea. Doctors did multiple sleep studies on Gypsy, but didn't find anything wrong. She told Ron she thought, not Ron, I wrote Ron, and it's Rod.
Ron?
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 Ron Weasley!
Ron!
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 Ron Weasley!
Harry Potter!
Rod.
Hermione.
Oh, we're down here. Hermione. Keep going. All right.
Snape. Yeah, I'm done.
Dumbledore. Okay.
May I proceed?
Isn't Dumbledore, like, naked?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
Aren't we all?
Great. Aren't we all under our clothes?
Mm-hmm.
Please continue.
Okay. Beep, beep. She told Rod she thought their little girl may have a chromosomal defect, which is where she felt Gypsy's health problems were stemming from. At one point, she claimed Gypsy had muscular dystrophy, and Dee Dee made her use a walker or a wheelchair to get around. And this would be the beginning of over a decade of doctors, hospitals, medical treatments for the kind of perfectly healthy Gypsy Rose. Mm-hmm. She saw a doctor somewhere around 100 times between 2005 and 2014.
Whoa.
So here's a list of medical disorders that Gypsy was said to have had at one time. And I mean, not only at one time in the timeline, but coinciding. Asthma, epilepsy, hyperventilation, heart murmur, hearing and vision impairment, gastrointestinal problems. That's hard to say. Incontinence, quadriplegia, which paralyzed from the waist down, GI reflux, leukemia, lung disease, muscular dystrophy, developmental delay. And I don't think this is all of them. This is just the ones I could find. So Gypsy was homeschooled, but Dee Dee didn't seem to be the best teacher. Maybe she didn't want Gypsy to be able to see that this wasn't a normal life. Gypsy was said to have taught herself to read on her own using the Harry Potter series.
I totally forgot that, and we were just doing Harry Potter.
Oh, yeah.
Weird.
It was like you knew.
It was like the back of my brain was like, you kind of remember this.
Yeah. At some point, Dee Dee and Gypsy move into Dee Dee's father and stepmother's home. It's alleged that Dee Dee poisoned her stepmother's food with Roundup weed killer, leading her to become chronically ill. Her father and stepmother actually confronted her about it and expressed their concern for Gypsy's well-being. Dee Dee just packed up her daughter and moved them to Slidell. And that's a suburb of New Orleans. Oddly enough, her stepmother's health returned to normal soon after Dee Dee moved out. Things that make you go. So the mother-daughter duo moved into public housing, and basically they lived off Rod's child support and public assistance that Dee Dee got because of Gypsy's many supposed medical conditions. They saw various specialists, mostly at Tulane Medical Center and the Children's Hospital of New Orleans, seeking treatment for the illnesses that Dee Dee claimed her daughter had. And now that included the hearing and the vision problems. So while a muscle biopsy found no sign of the muscular dystrophy Dee Dee insisted Gypsy Rose had, like you'd think that would be the end of it. But instead, she told doctors that Gypsy had suffered from seizures every few months. So they prescribed her anti-seizure medication. Several surgeries were performed on her during this time, and Dee Dee regularly took Gypsy to the emergency room for minor things. Many people who met Gypsy thought she was the cutest thing and usually clocked her as many years younger than she actually was. She was teeny tiny, only 5 feet tall. She was missing a lot of her teeth. She wore big glasses and had a very high childlike voice, which I actually heard recently that trauma can affect your vocal cords and like your vocal development. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting because like now we still hear her and she has a very childlike voice if you hear her in recordings. And it's, yeah, that could be part of it. It's trauma. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Anyway, but this all just reinforced the perception that she had all these problems that her mother claimed she did. So there's a really disturbing picture out there where Gypsy's sitting in the sink like a baby about to get a bath. She's probably around 18 at the time, but was manipulated into thinking she was much younger. And I had to ask, like, why would Rod go along with this and, like, tell Gypsy that she was younger? But I guess Dee Dee manipulated him into thinking it was better for Gypsy if, you know, like, when you wish her a happy birthday, don't say, like, happy 18th. Say, like, happy 11th birthday because she's really developmentally delayed. It makes her feel bad if she thinks she's older and she makes her think, like, yeah. So if you could just do that.
Right.
Whoa. No. Whoa. All right.
Dee Dee regularly shaved her daughter's head to mimic the hairless appearance of a chemotherapy patient, allegedly telling her daughter that since her medication would eventually cause her hair to fall out, it was best to just shave it in advance. Gypsy wore a lot of wigs and hats to cover her baldness. When they left the house, Dee Dee took an oxygen tank and a feeding tube with them. Gypsy was basically just fed Pediasure well into her 20s.
Mm. Yeah, no wonder she was so small.
Yeah. Well, right, just... and, like, it's easy for the caretaker to just malnourish her. She will look like she's losing weight and she's having problems. Mm-hmm, and it's horrible. Dee Dee used physical abuse to control Gypsy, always holding her hand in the presence of others. When she said something that suggested she was not genuinely sick, like when Gypsy would say something that's like, oh, I'm not really sick, or seemed beyond her mental capacity, her mother would squeeze her hand as tight as she could. When the two were alone, Dee Dee struck her with open hands or a coat hanger. And it gets worse. Dee Dee had some of Gypsy's saliva glands treated with Botox, then extracted altogether to supposedly control her drooling. But Gypsy later claimed that her mother induced drooling by using a topical anesthetic to numb her gums before they would go into the doctor.
Oh, God.
And so the lack of her salivary glands, coupled with the side effects of the anti-seizure medication she was given, caused her already few teeth to decay to the point that the majority of her teeth were extracted and replaced with a bridge. Tubes were implanted in her ears to control her many reported ear infections. In 2007, Gypsy was honored by the Olay Foundation, which advocates for the rights of feeding tube patients as their Child of the Year. Mm. And then in 2008, when they got the famous Habitat for Humanity house in Springfield, Missouri, Dee Dee made sure everyone knew the story of a mother and her chronically ill daughter who had to escape Hurricane Katrina. Gypsy's story got tons of media attention, and they received an outpouring of support. This included charitable contributions like free trips to Disney World and backstage passes to crazy concerts. Later on, though, once Dee Dee was able to, quote, get a copy of Gypsy's birth certificate, right, because it got destroyed in Katrina, suddenly her birth year was changed from 91 to 95, making her still underage and therefore under the care of her mother. Gypsy actually found her real birth certificate at one point and was, like, all confused, and so Dee Dee convinced her it was a misprint.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, but the other one's the misprint. Right. Not that one.
But, I mean, she literally doesn't know anything except what her mother tells her.
Yeah.
She hasn't let her live in the world. So while they were living in Springfield, they saw a pediatric neurologist named Bernardo Flasterstein. Flasterstein? I'm sorry. He ordered MRIs and blood tests, but found nothing wrong with her. He was basically like, she's fine, and I can't find any medical reason why she couldn't walk. So, like, can I see her medical records? To which Dee Dee was like, oh, no, they were destroyed in the flooding of Katrina, sorry. But the doctor didn't let it go. He called her previous doctors in New Orleans, who also confirmed that there was nothing physically wrong with Gypsy and that her medical records weren't actually destroyed. Like, we have them here. Mm-hmm. You can get them.
Oh, woof.
This was the first time Dee Dee was suspected of having Munchausen.
I know, I can't say it.
This is the case why I know about that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Munchausen
by proxy.
Munchausen. Oh, I've kicked the microphone. Munchausen syndrome by proxy. Yeah,
we're not waking
up. Munchausen syndrome by proxy.
Say it again.
Munchausen syndrome by proxy.
Okay.
Me too.
Yeah. By proxy. Okay, so according to the National Library of Medicine, quote, the term Munchausen syndrome was first described in 1951 by Asher to characterize individuals who intentionally produce signs and symptoms of a disease and who tend to seek medical or hospital care. Later in 1977, Meadow used the term Munchausen syndrome by proxy to describe children whose mothers produce histories of illness to their children and who support such histories by fabricating physical signs and symptoms or even by altering laboratory tests. Dee Dee stopped taking her daughter to this doctor, and he never reported her to social services on the advice of his fellow doctors. He was like, I don't know, they wouldn't have believed me anyway. Bro, say, if you but see something, say it, something. Mm-hmm. And, like, now you, like, have to, right?
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Well, like, the thing is, like, you think about how many doctor's appointments she went to. These are just the, like, how far she got are just the doctors that put through the bullshit. Like, mm-hmm. there's tons of doctors that she went to. Like, because I think that was something that came up later, too, is, like, she had all these doctor's appointments, but it was because some of them didn't go anywhere. Mm-hmm. Like, some of them didn't, like, you know, like, it was a doctor going, like, I don't know. And she's like, well, if you don't believe me, you know, or, like, you know, getting
I'll take it to somebody else.
And then going to somebody else, and eventually somebody, like, not every single doctor is chased and
then
great,
she kept moving them around and seeing new people,
confusing,
and
like new information,
staying vague with some things, like, oh, she does have seizures sometimes, and like you know, presenting enough, just enough, you know, information that a doctor who's like, oh, okay, yeah, like trusting and believing would just like give her and,
like, wants to help a child,
especially then,
and they think that their parent is advocating for them because good parents should be advocating for their children, But, okay, but at some point, someone, maybe this doctor, we don't really know, made an anonymous call to the police about Dee Dee using different names and birth dates for herself and Gypsy, and also said they felt Gypsy was in better health than her mother claimed. However, Dee Dee was able to explain this away, saying they had to keep doing that to escape her abusive ex-husband. The police never bothered to reach out to Rod to confirm any of this, and the file was just closed. So one thing Gypsy was allowed to do that brought her so much joy was going to sci-fi and fantasy conventions. She loved the inclusive community and the ability to express herself with cosplay. At one of these conventions, though, Gypsy got caught sneaking off to a hotel room with a man she met online. And Dee Dee produced Gypsy's false birth certificate, which said she was a minor, and threatened that guy that she was going to call the police. When they got home, Dee Dee...
But Gypsy's been able to be online at this point.
Interesting. Well, she has a shared Facebook with her mother.
Okay.
That Dee Dee, that's what Dee Dee knows about.
Interesting.
Right.
Okay.
But of course, yeah. So at this point, though, when they got home, Dee Dee smashed Gypsy's laptop with a hammer. Said if she pulled another stunt like that again, she'd smash her fingers, too. She then leashed and handcuffed Gypsy to her bed for 2 weeks.
Oh, my God.
And if that wasn't horrific enough, Dee Dee told Gypsy she'd already had the paperwork filed to deem her incompetent, so if she tried to go to the police about any of the abuse, they wouldn't believe her. Once she was untied, it said that Gypsy shot her mother 10 times with a BB gun, thinking it was a real gun, because she doesn't know what real and fake is, because she's stuck in this house with Dee Dee. And all this did was make Dee Dee more upset. Gypsy learned to sneak around after her mother had gone to sleep. She would get online, wanting nothing more than to make contact with the outside world and live her own life. That's when she met 24-year-old Nicholas Godijon in 2012 on a Christian singles website. Godijon had a criminal record for indecent exposure and a history of mental illness, sometimes reported as dissociative identity disorder. He was also on the autism spectrum. And when I say indecent exposure, he was caught watching porn in a McDonald's for 9 hours.
Ooh.
9 hours.
So.
My guess is that he was just in the McDonald's for 9 hours, and they didn't really catch him doing these things until later. But I just thought it was a funny thing to think about someone doing that for 9 hours, and everyone's like, you know, I'm going to get off in, like, a few hours. I don't really have time to deal with this.
Yeah.
I don't make enough money to put up with this fucking shit.
My idea is, like, what? I can't do anything for that long. Like,
right?
I can't watch any, even, like, binging television shows. I have to, like, get up and, like, walk around and go do something and get fries.
Oh, my goodness.
And, you know, that's what happened. Just get up, go get some food, go back.
Come back.
So the two dated. They dated online for 2 years, just strictly online. And Gypsy had 5 different Facebook accounts that she used to talk to him. After all, she and Dee Dee, like I said, shared a Facebook account, so that wasn't going to work.
Beans! I wanted to take a moment to talk about a company that I love very much. It's called Adventure Dog Coffee Company. Not only do they offer a specialty grade coffee that is roasted fresh to order, Literally, it is some of the best beans I've had the honor to brew for the Breakfast Nook. 20% of the proceeds from that coffee goes to train rescue dogs as specialty service dogs for veterans. To learn more about this incredible company and order your bag of coffee today, visit adventuredogcoffee.co. Use special promo code MURDER, that's M-U-R-D-E-R, at checkout to receive a 20% discount just for being a bean. You can also check out their link in our show notes. Now, let's get back to the show.
At one point, Gypsy told her friend all about her new online boo, and the details seemed to startle her friend. Gypsy said that when she and Godijan flirted online, their exchanges sometimes used BDSM elements, which she has since claimed was more like what he was interested in.
Interesting. Mm.
He would say he was her master and she was there to provide for him. And like, I know that this is actually a very normal thing. Like, there are some healthy relationships that, you know, use those terms, and that is totally fine when it's two consenting adults.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. Right.
Who
right.
fully understand what's going
yes.
on.
Yes. Yes. They like that status. You know, play, and that's great if you're into that and you both know what's happening.
Yeah.
But that's what I was gonna say. Like, I don't think Gypsy could really consent to this. I don't think she knew otherwise or knew anything was off about Nicholas.
Well, and it like reminds me of, you know, when we were all dumb kids and we were getting in those chat rooms and we're like, yeah, I'm 25 female.
Oh, yeah.
And just like their responses.
ASL?
Yeah.
Age, sex, location? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm 14F from Chicago. That was me. Damn, that takes me back.
Did you tell the truth? Most of us lied.
Yeah. I was always a couple years older.
I am 25.
But even a couple 25. Years older was still underage.
It's mm-hmm. true. But like, and my point is like, the people then who respond to you will maybe say stuff that you don't fully understand, but right. you feel cool and special, and so you go along with it, you know?
Yeah. Well, this one's hard. Well, I'll get into it. But okay, so Nicholas told Gypsy that he had multiple personalities, and she should change her personalities according to whoever he was fronting at the time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So he would also talk about his dark side, the evil inside of him that was capable of horrible things.
Oh, he was one of those.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Gypsy's friend tried
was it
to
an
like.
Angel?
Yeah. Gypsy's friends tried to talk her out of the relationship, still thinking that she was too young, possibly being taken advantage of by a sexual predator. Mm. But keep in mind, her friend thinks Gypsy is still underage, but she's actually about 23 years old at this point.
Jesus Christ.
Who is the friend that she's talking to?
Aaliyah.
Aaliyah, okay.
So the next
the
year.
The singer?
That's
yes.
awesome.
The next year, so now we're in 2015, she arranged and paid for Godijan to meet her mother in Springfield. Her plan was for him to, like, casually bump into her while she and her mom were at a movie and, like, strike up a conversation. And then later she'd be like, oh my God, you remember that super nice guy that we met? We had this great conversation with him. I'm dating him. And she'd love it, right? Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
That all sounds like a reasonable lady.
Yeah, but it didn't really, like, work out that way. But they did end up meeting up in the bathroom and having sex, apparently.
Oh.
But I don't know. They both say that happened, but part of me is like, Didi holds your hand everywhere you go, and you're apparently wheelchair-bound, but you're in a... She lets you go to the bathroom by yourself? Like, I just don't feel like Didi would do that. I don't know. We'll see.
What was distracting Didi?
Right? The movie couldn't have been that good. But after this is when the two decide they can't be without each other. And for that to happen, Didi has to go. On June 9th, 2015, Gypsy and Didi gave each other manicures, and Gypsy put Didi to bed, promising to, quote, be a good girl. Once she was asleep, Gypsy gave the signal to Nicholas that it was time. She let him inside, went into the bathroom and covered her ears as Nicholas stabbed Didi to death. It was said, too, that Nicholas asked if he could have sex with her mother, and she said, no, please don't have sex with her. I'll let you have sex with me. So there's also, like, talk about, well, he stabbed her because, you know, it's
Christ.
Like your metaphorical penis and, like, blah, 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 blah. Gross. Yeah. So, all right. So then 5 days later, on the 14th, someone posted on Didi's Facebook page, that bitch is dead, along with, I fucking slashed that fat pig and raped her sweet, innocent daughter. Her scream was so fucking loud, LOL.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And this looked like it was coming from Didi posting this herself.
Right.
Because her daughter had her Facebook.
Right.
Yeah. And it's also, people speculate that, I believe Gypsy actually did admit at one point that they posted this because she wanted someone to find her mom. It was taking too long, and she, like, she does care. It is her mother. She wanted someone to find her.
Mm-hmm.
So concerned friends who saw the post contacted police, and they did a welfare check on the Blanchard home. There they found the body of Dee Dee, tons of medicine, and even Gypsy's wheelchair. But there was no sign of Gypsy in the house. So some feared the worst, that someone murdered Dee Dee and kidnapped her daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Police traced the IP address of the Facebook posts, and it led them straight to Nicholas's house a few hours away, where they found him and Gypsy basically playing house. They had taken $4,000 from Dee Dee and were trying to live the life they had been chatting about for so long. When taken in for questioning, Gypsy first acted like she had no idea her mother was dead.
Oh, that's not a good way to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She told police all about her mother's Munchausen syndrome by proxy. Nailed it. And all the abuse. I had to be like touching Nicole. I said it.
You guys did it together.
Thank you. Thank you by proxy.
That was cool.
Your mother by proxy.
Thank you by proxy.
I watched magic happen by proxy.
But yeah, so she told her about all of her mother's abuse that she had endured. So it was clear to them that Gypsy was physically fine. She could walk. She didn't need the feeding tube or an oxygen tank. She'd also been off her medications and was fine.
Oh, my God. To not be on medications like that, like, and then to be, like, feeling, like,
feeling
better.
Oh, yeah, better. Yeah. And, like, when not, that must be so crazy.
Crazy.
That must be the craziest, like, thing to figure out, like, as it's happening. Just be like, hold on. Oh, my God, I feel okay. Because you're so scared the whole time that you're going to die.
Yeah. Because that's what someone's been telling you. Of course you think that.
Yeah, and then I'm sure there are things that were numbed, right? Yeah. And so, like, now you're feeling things you've never felt before.
Crazy.
Like, physically feeling things or being able to move things you couldn't move. Mm-hmm. Like, it's crazy.
Rod, Gypsy's dad, was called, and this all came as a huge shock to him as well because Dee Dee had been avoiding him for years, making sure he never got to see his daughter. Rod said, quote, I think Dee Dee's problem was that she started a web of lies and there was no escaping after. She got so wound up in it, it was like a tornado got started, and then once she was in so deep that there was no escaping. One lie had to cover another lie, had to cover another lie, and that was her way of life. Prosecutors declined to go for the death penalty against Nicholas and Gypsy, but both of them were charged with first-degree murder. The courts determined that Nicholas was the one who specifically murdered Dee Dee, so he was convicted and is now serving life in prison without parole. Gypsy accepted a plea bargain agreement in 2016 for 10 years and the charge of second-degree murder. Gypsy thrived in prison, according to reports and interviews she's done. Despite being behind bars, it was the first time she'd experienced some form of autonomy.
Mm-hmm.
Just a few weeks prior to when we're recording this, on December 28th, 2023, Gypsy Rose was released on parole after serving 8.5 years of her 10-year sentence. While in prison, she met and married Ryan Anderson, and the two seem incredibly excited to start their new lives together. It was really cute. She was like, I guess they went shopping, and he's just so excited to show her, like, a normal life and let her, like, everything that I've seen him say, I'm like, I really hope this is for real, because they seem kind of great together, and she seems really happy. And I guess she was, like, picking out baby clothes, and he was like, whoa, next aisle, aisle, like, we're not there yet.
Yeah.
But, like, I wish the best.
Yeah. No, be a free lady for a while first.
Yes. Yeah. Do you?
That's
and then
your life hasn't been about you yet. Like, yeah. Right, it could be
well,
about
she's,
you. For
I mean,
a bit,
she's
yeah.
younger than me. She was born in 91. You got time, girl. So, and you know, I like to end with a nice little quote. So here's Gypsy. The prison Gypsy is over. Now this is the new Gypsy, and let's form this new identity for me and see what I can do. See the power of my voice. I've already used the power to share my story for myself. Let's see if I can share maybe other people's stories and give them a voice. And that's the story of Dee Dee and Gypsy Rose Blanchard. Any final sips? Okay, I'll start. Just real quick, because it's kind of like how Nicole is always like, no one gets to say if you live or die.
Yeah.
No one else should get to control how another person lives their life.
Yeah.
Is kind of the overall thing. For me in this, it's just like, it hurts my soul to think that Gypsy lost out on so many amazing things that this world has to offer because of her mother. Mm-hmm. And so this is always like a weird case for everybody because, yes, somebody died and that's scary and terrible. But did Gypsy kind of have no other choice? Like, what would she ever have gotten out of this? Like, it's, I don't know. And it's not, death is never the right choice, but I do think that at least Gypsy's going to make something of herself now because of it. trying to look at a positive light.
Sure, no. I mean, it's important to look at the positive side of things. Yeah, I mean, I understand so many different aspects of this case. This is always one that's like hard to wrap my brain around.
Well, and I don't think she necessarily would have ever killed her mother. I think that was kind of a Nicholas thing, and I think he already had it in him because he kept talking about that evil side and this evil part. So it's thought that like he was kind of waiting for someone to say, "I have somebody you could kill,"
and that's really scary.
Is terrifying,
that
right?
He also didn't get, maybe he does now, but like not the help that he needs, especially if he truly had all those things that he said he had going on. He needed the support and medical facilities to help him not have the dark side
Absolutely.
Any of that stuff. It's just a really complicated case with a lot of things. You know, the Munchausen by proxy is really scary. Thank you. I got a thumbs
Good
up
job.
From Amanda.
Really proud of you.
It's really scary because you are like, I will get weird. I get like, I'm like a hypochondriac sometimes, and like I get really weird about a lot of things and like diseases and whatever, but it's never been so extreme that anything like that's happened. But thinking about that is a really scary thing where it's like a person is so obsessed and so sure on these things, and they project it onto another person, not even themselves. They're doing it to another person that has no say in the matter.
No say, but they get all the attention
yeah.
and money from it. So they get all their good brainy feels, so we're just going to keep on doing it. Yeah, that's why it is a very much a mental disorder.
Yeah, and it's like that, I mean, we've kind of talked about things like this before, too, about how they're not really seeing their child or another person. They're seeing a thing that if I do this, I get a thing that I like. So I'm going to do this to this thing that's we're not thinking of as a living being, really, truly.
Yeah.
Because if you were, then you wouldn't be doing all these horrible things to this person. Because she, you know, what's the word? Manipulated, yes. Mutilated her. She had surgeries done that she never should have had done.
Surgical mutilation.
And was forced medication that she never should have been on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So she poisoned her, basically.
Mm-hmm. It's really, really scary. And yeah, just like what that must have been like to detox from all of that.
Mm-hmm. I also read in one, I didn't put it in here, but I did read in one source that she starved her mother to death. That she denied her own mother food until her death. And then she tried to kill her stepmother. Mm. And then now Gypsy. So.
Dee Dee did that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dee Dee did that.
Yeah, it's a sticky wicket. But, like, also, it's interesting to think about, like, how the abuse probably, the, like, physical, like, squeezy hand abuse didn't start until, like you guys said, she started realizing that this wasn't a thing, but it's a person that's going to start having autonomy and not want to do the thing that you're doing. Or starting to notice, hey, Mom, look, my arms work. No, they don't. Like, even as, like, a kid, like, what is that conversation?
She would tell her, when we go into the doctor's office, you stay completely quiet. I will do all of the talking and do not move your legs.
Right.
And that's kind of all she knew.
Yeah.
But she didn't know anything was wrong.
Right.
It's just, okay, sure.
I just hope that a person like that, I hope that she was able to learn a lot in prison about, like, from people about, like, don't trust every single person, and I just don't want her to burn out on, like, television and doing all the television shows and whatever stuff either. So that's all. Because it's just more manipulative people.
Yes.
So, yeah. So, yeah, it would just be nice for her to live her life how she wants to live it. Whatever that is, that could also be in front of a camera, but just feel like she just deserves peace, whatever it is, because she served her time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, so, regardless of the terrible thing that happened, she officially served her time, so she should be able to see what life is all about, you know?
Yeah.
That's a long time during, like, very developmental years, like, of first of all not being able to use your body all the way, but then like having all of it available to you, but like in prison. So maybe, I don't know, I hope they do like classes, I don't know, they don't, but just something to like teach you how to like do things in life, like I don't know, sometimes they do that in prisons where it's like groups. I know it's not all of them at all by any means because
they're all individually
so
owned.
Awful yeah. Yeah, but it would be nice to know that she had some sort of something for her in there.
I mean, at least she does have a support group, and I do believe that her dad is still in her life and, like, her stepmom and stuff, and they still support her. So she does have a support group. So
great.
So she's not going to just get taken advantage of again, yeah.
No,
yeah.
I would really hope not. I would really hope not. I mean, the world is an evil, awful place, mm-hmm. but I'm just going to wish her the damn best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, because like you're saying, she served her time and she's learned, and hopefully she, like, moves a lot of this positive growth forward and onto others.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, bringing this case brings awareness to Munchausen by proxy.
Absolutely.
And I think that that's really important. And I know, like, the medical professionals and stuff are more aware of it, and they're quicker to report these things. And I just hope that that continues.
There's
just
more
protecting each other. Yeah.
Too.
Right.
Just
and
we
that,
need to
yeah,
protect.
Like we were saying, now doctors are required to report things then. Mm-hmm. And they're not necessarily, they didn't have to back then. He could make that choice if it was good for him.
Yeah.
But whatever.
And it has also backfired where there have been real things that have happened and it's come across the wrong way. So do your due diligence. If you see something, say something.
Well,
but also
like that,
pay attention to the evidence.
Are you talking about that documentary on Netflix?
Yeah,
the Protect
there is that
Something
one.
Anna? What's it?
I don't know.
Protecting Anna. Some of a bitch. But it's
I'm
basically
just,
the, she actually had, I'm sorry.
Documentaries can be real biased because there was
they,
a lot
no,
in
totally.
That.
Yeah, yeah. No, totally. No, totally.
There was a lot
sure.
in that particular one.
But it was
one.
Just the thought of, it. Like, the thought is that the mother has Munchausen, but it's more believed that there is actually something wrong with the daughter and no one can figure it out.
Yeah, because that
everyone's
does
blaming
happen.
Her of Munchausen
yeah,
right. by proxy, but she's really actually advocating for her daughter that has some crazy thing that no one can figure out.
Yeah, mm-hmm. there's, and my brain isn't so great, but there's a Forensic Files episode that I watched, and this baby got really sick, and the doctors, like, thought that the child was getting abused because the twin was, like, fine, and they couldn't figure out what was going on, and the parents were, like, really concerned, and they thought that that's what was going on, that it was, like, a Munchausen by proxy thing. But what was actually going on is there was, like, some bacteria or something in the vents, and because of how the babies were sleeping, the one twin was getting more of it than the other, and so that's what was actually making them
wow.
sick, but they couldn't figure it out.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Crazy.
So,
yeah.
Do your due diligence, see something, say something. Always check the evidence. Like, don't just get tunnel vision, which mm-hmm. we talk about a lot. But yeah, we just got to protect each other and keep moving forward in positive ways.
Yep.
Thanks for bringing that to the Breakfast Nook. I haven't really seen a lot of the new interviews. I've seen her picture on stuff and I've read some of the articles, but I haven't watched anything since she's gotten out. So it was really great to bring that to the Breakfast Nook.
Welcome.
Yeah.
I hope you had a good breakfast, everybody.
Drink some coffee.
Eat a
toast.
Now that we talked about murder, you can go to work and not murder anyone, okay? I'm proud of you and I love you.
Yeah. Stay safe, Beans. We look forward to sharing more coffee with you around the Breakfast Nook here on this lovely podcast that we like to call
Murders.
Morning Murders.
Thank you for listening to Morning Murders.
Keep checking our page for new episodes and special guests.
Want to learn more? Swing by our Instagram to check out more information from our episodes at Morning Murders. That's MourningMurders.
Also, you can always check out some mental health links and our episodes resources in our show notes.
If you enjoyed listening to our highly caffeinated conversation, please leave us a 5-star rating and tell your friends.
If you have any stories you'd like to hear discussed around the Breakfast Nook, email us at morningmurders@gmail.com.
Thank you for listening!
My bones.
Yeah, bones.
Yeah, bones.
Guys, I'm gonna close this door, okay?
I'm gonna take this off because it's while I'm sitting here.
What are you taking off, Brenna?
Bump.
Whoa. Show us that knee.
Sounds like I was opening my wallet in the early 2000s.
Yeah.
Velcro.
You didn't have I had a Velcro wallet for sure.
100%.
How are you going to know it's secure if it's not, if I can't hear it open?
Exactly.
I think it was like a teal Roxy wallet.
Ooh, I also had a Roxy wallet.
Mm-hmm.
I still have
Roxy
and
mud
things.
I used to. I don't anymore.
Mm.
Just gonna squeeze in.
Look guys, the belt that I'm wearing to the emo show is mine from the early 2000s.
That's
I'm really proud of it. I was like, I knew I saved you for a reason.
like sang like the angels, yeah. like but like screamoed like the angels. When I took it off the shelf, it was like, wah, let's fucking go.
Yeah, it's great.
Fuck yeah.
Yay!
Yay! Yeah. Somebody submitted to the epic trailer show.
Oh yeah. Yes, but don't feel obligated. I just did it for fun.
I'm interested in.
Oh, there's a snail. Wow.
You know who wants to be in the show?
Aurora.
Ben's like, I'm busy.
Oh, it's just a beautiful girl. Hello.
Is this the ottoman you're sitting on? Oh,
the perfect ottoman.
I'm going to do my episode with the doggo in my lap. I can read better with the doggo in my lap, please.
I agree.
You have the softest little head.
Aurora.
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 She's trying to get behind your chair. I don't know how she thinks she's going to fit back there.
I don't think so.
Aurora.
Aurora.
Aurora. Amanda!
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 Amanda.
Amanda.
What are you doing, lady?
It's Ben on the set!
Yay!
Oh my god. Okay, how many people are in this
Ben.
Nook, my goodness?
Ben, 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 Ben,
Ben, Ben, Ben, Ben, Ben,
Ben, Ben, Ben, Ben, Ben, Ben, Ben, Ben, Ben, Ben, Ben, Ben, Ben, Ben, Ben.
Give it to me, give it to me. Ben.
Ben, Ben, Ben. Oh, harmonies. Ben, Ben, Ben. Ben, Ben, Ben.
I love you, Brenna.
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 Heart attack.
Have you seen that by now, that video? It's the Cadillac.
Dealership.
Yeah. It's just ack, is like
the
flashing.
The AC.
Oh, that's funny. I have not
seen. You should see it. It's fun, Nicola.
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 Amanda.
Got a Bjork shirt on.
I have a Bjork shirt on. Oh, now it all makes sense because I read the back of your shirt and I was like, that's a thing. Okay, guys, wait, turn around for a second. Let me for the beans. Let's read the back of Brenna's shirt. It says, "Oh yeah, I don't know.
I don't know my future after this weekend
and I don't want to." And I was like, "Bet. Who is that, Bjork?" Okay, because I was like, that's weird. I don't know.
Bjork, who's from the little Icelandic country, and I think of all the little things, like all the little mice that knit my sweaters.
Precisely.
Thank you, Bjork. You can go home
Thank
now.
Thank you, Bjork.
Yep. Special guest today, guys.
This episode is sponsored by Bjork.
I appreciate you having me to have fun talking about the sharks.
I'm not going to do this episode unless you'll be Bjork the whole time.
Oh my god, special guest Bjork.
Bjork, welcome.
Oh gosh.
You guys, ready?
Sure.
I'm excited. It's going to be great.
Mm-hmm.
Which is how she thought, gosh,
bloop, 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 boop, I can't breathe tonight.
Called them,
bloop, boop, doop, doop.
Beep, beep.
The murder days are over. The murder days are over.
You like that?
Perfect.
Florence, are you here?
Oh, there's so many special guests.
Is it the machine?
Is it Ben?
Ben! Ben!